I'm going to use my platform to reach as many people as possible with this. And to be honest with you, this whole fitness thing is just an excuse to be able to talk about everything else.
Let's get it going. What is going on, fam? Welcome and welcome back to the Lollapalooza / Burning Man of Strength Training and Functional Fitness, the Uncharted Performance Podcast. I am your host, Paul Wenzel, and our goal, as always, is to learn and apply from the best and the brightest by dissecting and deconstructing their personal journeys and accumulated wealth of knowledge and experience to elevate our performance inside and outside of the confines of the gym, weight room, box, essentially wherever you train to become awesome. For episode 73, we are joined by Carl Pauli, the author of the best-selling Freestyle Connection and creator of Gymnastics WOD. Once you have enjoyed the podcast, because I know you will, please take a second to rate and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whichever podcast listening platform you prefer. It makes us feel pretty good inside, but also sheds more light on our awesome guests on the interwebs. Shout out this week to Lena's account for making us feel warm and fuzzy with her review on iTunes by saying, "Well-rounded source of functional fitness information and education. As a new member of the CrossFit community, I find these episodes to be informative as well as entertaining. Powell puts his guests at ease, which allows them to easily share their experiences and passion for health and fitness." Thank you so much, Lena, and welcome to the CrossFit community. Hope it's going great. If you're looking for new equipment for your training, definitely check out the Rogue Fitness link on our website, unchartedperformance.com. It is also a way you can support the podcast. Last but not least, make sure to tag us on Instagram or Twitter whenever you are catching the show. And if you ever have a guest in mind that would be a great fit for us, definitely let us know. You can shoot us an email at contact@unchartedperformance.com or shoot us a direct message on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Not going to lie, these next 2 weeks are pretty, pretty cool for me personally. Starting first, obviously, with Carl. I first heard about him and from him indirectly over 3 years ago on Barbell Shrugged, and have been a huge fan ever since. But back then, I never thought I would get an opportunity to speak to him one-on-one, and more so for 60 minutes. So I just want to thank you, sir, for not only the time, but the inspiration and helping me and us to set on the path that we are on today. And just another quick shout out to Linda Hong, if you're listening. Thank you for connecting us with Carl. This is obviously a quote-unquote fitness podcast, so we do get into Carl's awesome book, The Freestyle Connection, and coaching. But there's a lot more to our conversation. Essentially, what if we could utilize fitness as a platform to express ourselves, encourage people, and collectively grow? The next 60 minutes or so are an eye-opener that transcends strength training, Olympic weightlifting, or whatever your fitness endeavor might be. Carl and I discuss his roots, his gymnastics background, awesome studies and work in marine biology, and how all those led him to here now, in the environment and the movement he's creating and championing through the Freestyle Connection and other endeavors. We get into why we should move like we care, what impact being kind to ourselves can have, the importance of being present, creating an intellectual experience, and how and where to make the biggest impact. I am very honored to have been fortunate enough to speak with Carl one-on-one, his honesty and openness, and to have the opportunity to share with you guys, to those that are listening to this podcast. Before we get to it, one final thing. If you're free the weekend of December 2nd here in Cleveland, please join us and the rest of the community, fitness community, for the Cleveland Clinic Get Fit Expo and the Rogue Fit Winter Classic in association with CrossFit, featuring such big names in the CrossFit world as Scott Panchik, Dan Bailey, Ben Smith, Brooke Wells, and Jen Smith, just to name drop a few. So mark your calendars, folks. It is the weekend after Thanksgiving. With that, enjoy. I hope you enjoy our conversation with Carl. Take care, guys. Carl, Carl, welcome to the Uncharted Performance Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
I am as well. Thank you very much for taking the time. I wanted to start off with a quick shout out to a mutual friend of ours. Somewhere having a blast in the middle of Asia is Linda Hong of Wad Nation. She made the connection. So I just want to give a quick shout out to her. If you guys are looking for some gear for CrossFit, check them out, Wad Nation, wadnationgear.com. What I want to start off with is, again, I might say thank you a few times, probably too many, during the course of our conversation. But following you and reading through your book, I've been able to make a better connection and sense movement, not necessarily in the gym, but more importantly, I think outside of it, and being more mindful and aware of that movement and how it impacts not just training, but lifestyle choices. If that makes any sense.
It does. First of all, I'm very happy to hear you say that. That's the best compliment you can get when it comes to trying to put together a book where you're trying to put into words your thoughts and your, at least what you're hoping people to feel when they when they read about your thoughts. So that makes my day, man. That's awesome. And I thank you for sharing that.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. I'm glad I made your day. We're going to...
that's how easy it is.
Yeah, all right. Done. Podcast is over. Carl, thank you. And I'll talk to you
soon. I can retire now.
Exactly. No. We usually... We reach out to our following, our listeners, before we have our guests on and ask them if they have any questions. So the next few ones are from our listeners. And the first one is, what languages do you speak?
I speak English, I speak Spanish, and I speak Swedish.
Okay. What was harder to learn, Swedish or Spanish?
Well, they were both equally as easy as they were languages I spoke since I was a very young kid.
Okay.
I was born into a Swedish family, so Swedish was, I guess, the mother tongue, if you will.
Gotcha.
And then when I was 3 years old, we moved to Ecuador, so Spanish was introduced to my life, and after that I moved to Spain and got fully immersed in the Spanish culture, and everything I did was in Spanish, and then at home in Swedish. So I guess the hardest language to learn was actually English, and okay. I still struggle with it sometimes, believe it or not.
I actually do as well. I'm Polish, and I've been living in the States for, I think, 20 years now, a little bit over 20 years. And I tend to slip up, I think, more often than I do in Polish.
Yeah,
Is pretty surprising.
You have 7 years on me. I've been here for 13 years now, so I have a few years to catch up to you with. Yeah,
gotcha. We are a Cleveland-based podcast, and so a lot of the questions were, when are you coming to Cleveland?
Man, I would love to come out. I actually have never been invited to Cleveland. I went there once when I was in Columbus, and I went up there just for a little meeting, and then I came back down, but I've never been invited to teach in Cleveland. So if anyone is interested in having me, hit me up.
Okay. Very cool. We will try to make that happen, and maybe we can connect regarding that offline.
That'd be awesome.
Awesome. How tall are you?
I am 5'8" on a good day. maybe 5'7", 5'7½".
Okay. Cool. So that's I'm gonna stop there with the audience questions. Hopefully they're satisfied, especially with the Cleveland one. Something
I thought they were kind of fun.
Something that you mentioned recently, actually, I think it was either an Instagram post or Insta story, and I know it was a joke, but I'm going to try to see if there was some hidden meaning behind it as well. And you said you're on top of the world. And what did you mean by that?
Yeah, I'm feeling awesome. And it's one of those expressions that we use sometimes, like, I'm on top of the world. I feel like I'm killing it. But then what I followed with was, but so are we all. Yeah. We're all standing on top of planet Earth, literally standing on top of planet Earth. And the meaning behind it is that whether you're feeling successful and on top of the world or not, you're still on top of the world. You just have to realize that you're there and that we're all equal. And being on top of the world is a mindset, and it's something that can be practiced, and it's something that starts with just paying attention to, look, you are literally standing on top of the world. This is, it's amazing. Yeah. And it may seem very simple and obvious, but when you actually realize that, it's a big deal, because you become someone who is in control of who you are.
Got it. Do you know that there's another Carl Pauli?
I do, yeah. He's okay. Actually an actor, painter, stuntman. Yeah. He lives in Chicago.
Have you guys ever met?
We have never met, but we have spoken.
Okay.
Because we have been, he when he's on set, apparently I think he's on Chicago Police or something right now.
Okay.
Some TV show. Apparently people ask him for CrossFit tips.
Have you ever given him any to provide to those people that are asking for tips?
No.
Okay.
No, I think he actually stopped following me. I think he was over it. He was over. He's like, damn, this guy is taking over my name, and it's not cool.
My spot. Yeah, he's blowing up your spot.
Man. But he's awesome. He's cool. He does a lot of great things. And when Vine was hot, he was on Vine and he was crushing it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, he was crushing it. He's so creative.
All right. Very cool. Yeah, I actually, Vine is no longer around, right? I think they closed it down.
Yeah, no, it closed down a few months ago.
Okay. Very cool. So that was one of my free associations that I mentioned. So I apologize.
You're good.
So if being a
you don't need to apologize to me.
Okay, got it. Thank you. So being a fan and a follower of yours for some time now, you seem to be like a very cool person. And that might sound a little, I guess, ambiguous, but you seem like a cool, nice guy. A kind-hearted person that means well and is really looking out for others. What brings that about? Where does that stem from?
Yeah, you're not the first to say that, and I appreciate that, because I work on being kind to myself and to others every day, and it's something that stems from my childhood and an example that my parents and my siblings and my friends and the people that I care about in my life have set for me throughout my life. And it really stems from that example that they set, where I was never judged for my behaviors as a kid, where as a kid, I was a very scared kid. I was fearful of everything. So I acted out in very negative ways to try to get attention or try to feel safe. And I was taught and nurtured to realize that it's okay. You're not defined by your behaviors, and the feeling of being unsafe that I had could be fulfilled with having the right strategies to meet those needs. And it's as basic as being kind, starting with yourself and then reciprocating that towards others. And that's how I try to live my life every day. And sometimes I'm successful and sometimes I'm not. But I'm at least aware of when I'm not successful at it, and I try to improve.
What do you mean by being kind to yourself?
Well, if you've ever had any negative thoughts towards yourself, mm-hmm. such as you suck, you can't do this, or you didn't pass this test, or you missed an appointment, or you forgot someone's birthday, or whatever it may be. It is very easy to beat yourself up on your faults and on your mistakes. And the exercise of being kind is acknowledging that you messed up in some sort of way, or you could have done better. And then forgiving yourself and saying, it's okay, Carl. Your intent was positive. You missed the mark a little bit. That's okay. Apologize if needed, or acknowledge that you missed the mark, and then forgive yourself for doing so, and let it be a reminder and a foundation for next time. And I think that's the essence of practicing some basic kindness towards yourself.
Okay. And how does that...
Yeah.
How does that manifest then to being kind to others? I'm just trying to kind of dig a little deeper on this, if you don't mind.
Yeah, feel free to dig as much as you want. So if I'm talking to you, for example, basic kindness is becoming someone who is acknowledging that you are here right now with me having a conversation, and that in this moment, all that really matters and what takes priority is this relationship that we have right now.
Okay.
And that is a very basic form of practicing kindness towards others. And then, of course, there are different layers that you can add on top of it, depending on what you're talking about, or what the different needs of the two participants in the conversation are, and what the agenda may be, and so on and so forth, because there's always something that you're trying to accomplish, whether it's just to connect and be merry, or get a project done, or whatever it may be.
Okay, awesome. So kind of taking that back to your parents and them setting an example, and so let's take that back to Spain, and we kind of started off with that. When you moved to Spain at a young age, where did you grow up? What was it like? And what did you gain from that experience?
Yeah, I moved with my family to Spain when I was five. Okay. So in 1987.
Okay.
And we arrived in a city called Alicante, which is on the east, southeast coast of Spain. And We actually arrived in a smaller town called Mil Palmeras, which was in a very, very small town, beach town. And, of course, coming from the U.S., it was complete culture shock for mm-hmm. my parents and for my two older siblings. But for me, although there was a big change, and I remember I had vivid memories of seeing the ocean looked different, which wasn't an ocean, it was a sea. And I remember swimming in this pool and just being in the pool, it felt different. And then the food and the smells and nature looked different. It was dry and kind of more desert looking. And the language was different. And I have vivid memories of it being different. But for mm-hmm. me, it wasn't a shock. But for my parents and for my siblings, it was.
Mm-hmm.
But as a kid, you mold pretty rapidly, and we were put into school, and everything was in Spanish. And I personally felt like I learned Spanish within a day. I feel like the first day of school, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm fluent in Spanish now. It's done. so I never struggled with the language. It just was. And same with my younger brother and eventually my younger sister. Mm-hmm. So for me, it wasn't really a culture shock. But what I do remember was realizing that I was growing up in a Swedish household and going to a Spanish school. So every day I would have to code switch from the Swedish culture to the Spanish culture. And eventually what ended up happening was a lot of the Spanish culture would seep into our family to the point where when we were speaking to each other, we started using mixed language. Mm-hmm. And we would use Swedish and Spanish to fill in the gaps wherever we were missing something, or if we were trying to express something that we had learned in school, but we didn't know how to say it in Swedish. And it became a mix, kind of like a melting pot of communication. So that's kind of what I remember vividly of the early years in Spain.
Okay, and it's actually, I can really relate to that because it was our transition, I guess, to the U.S., again, from Poland. But after a while, there's four of us, and we started to kind of get that, you know, more exposure with the language, with the culture, and in your words, it was that code switching where some of us, you know, would maybe forget a word or two in Polish, and then we would transition and kind of, you know, I guess, combine the two languages, so to speak. So it's very interesting that you had a similar experience in a different, obviously different country, but nonetheless similar. When did gymnastics enter the picture?
Gymnastics entered the picture at age six, when I was in first grade.
So pretty early on after you moved.
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe half a year after I moved to Spain. And it was an after-school program that my mom thought, you know what, this would be a good thing for them to do. Uh-huh. And when I say them, it was the three brothers got into gymnastics. And I eventually realized, okay, I like this. I picked it up. I enjoyed it. I could relate to it more than I could relate to soccer, which is what everyone else was playing. And I felt like I was different. So I gravitated towards it. And then eventually I joined a club that was a more formal team. And that led to becoming part of a larger team, kind of like the state team. And then eventually competing nationwide at nationals and then some European championships and so on. Made my way through the ranks until I was 19 when I retired.
Okay. Why did you retire at 19?
I retired because I realized that I was not going to go to the Olympics.
Okay.
And my body was in pain, and mm-hmm. There's a lot of factors that went into it, and I was just excited about other things, and my mind had shifted away from the Olympic dream to putting all of the effort that I was putting into gymnastics into developing myself intellectually and uh-huh. going to school and becoming a little bit more business savvy and actually creating an experience for my life that was going to allow me to go a little further than the lane of gymnastics was actually taking me.
Okay, so were those the things that kind of sparked your passion and interest more outside of gymnastics, the intellectual pursuit?
Yeah, I think it was something about gymnastics that I went as far as I could go mm-hmm. personally with gymnastics. I could have kept pushing it a little bit longer, but I believe that I made the right move shifting into going to school and studying environmental science and specializing in genetic engineering and taking the micro level of understanding of chemistry, biochemistry, physics, mathematics to a more macro level, which is marine biology. And in the process of going from the micro science to the macro science, what was very interesting was that I realized that when I went to the macro, I was out in the field more, and all of a sudden I was more physical. And especially in marine biology, when we were taking breaks, I was wakeboarding and I was on the water doing water sports. And there was a huge carryover from gymnastics to action sports. And I realized that there was this whole lifestyle that could be built around performance, physical performance, and research and this intellectual development that, in a way, I really believe that it was going to impact everyone's future. And there were so many business opportunities out there, such as there were a group of pro surfers mm-hmm. that would tour with scientists, and they would teach people how to surf in different locations. And then the scientists would go along with the surfers and educate people on coral reef ecology and help people become more environmentally conscious from how they were managing their waste and how they were treating the oceans and the importance of coral reef ecology and how everyone could become an active participant in this thing. And I just liked being part of the whole experience all around.
Yeah, it actually sounds
so. That's what really was driving me back then.
Yeah, and I like how I said I'm gonna make fun of myself. How you retired after 14 years? that's a pretty long career in most sports. There's a recent documentary that came out. The title escapes me at the moment, but it's about the health of the coral reefs around the world and how it's kind of being, obviously impacted by a lot of the macro choices mm-hmm. by the population, the world population. I'll link that up for people that are interested in kind of see what's going on, because it's a little I guess discouraging, to be honest. but
yeah, it's awful. It's yeah. awful. Yeah. I was on this expedition in Malaysia, uh-huh. and one of the things that we did was we dove down to this oil tanker that was leaking oil, and there was no way of siphoning the oil out, so we had to do a welding job underwater. And we did this welding job, and within 5 minutes of finishing the welding job and swimming around this oil tanker, all of a sudden, when we got back, it was flooded with fish. And on that same expedition, we cleaned up a coral reef that had a net on it, and this reef was completely empty. And we were probably underwater with 35 minutes for this net, to cut off this net. Mm-hmm. And when we cut off this net, it took 2 minutes, and it was flooded with fish. And wow. it was like it just came to life. And there's such small changes that you can make that can make such a big impact. It's phenomenal. But the velocity of the population growth and the way that waste management is run in the majority of the countries is a huge problem. So thankfully there are some very wealthy people out there, like Richard Branson, who now is putting together a very powerful effort. I believe they call themselves the Elderly. And they're doing ocean protection efforts and activism, and it's really, really interesting. But I need to check out the documentary you're talking about, because I believe there's probably some really good things to hear there, even though it may be very sad and discouraging, as you
yeah.
said.
Yeah, I'll message to you after the podcast once I find it. But kind of bring it back to the conversation and maybe liven it up a little bit. What was it, the studies, the intellectual pursuit that brought you back to the States?
I was actually heartbroken.
Oh, okay, wow. Okay.
I had a girlfriend that I had been with for a couple years, and she broke up with me, and I was like, oh my God, what do I do? And I thought, you know what? Well, this is a perfect chance for me to go out and explore the world a little bit. And I ended up going to Singapore, and in Singapore I met some people that were studying great white sharks. And then I came back to Spain and I thought, you know what, I think I want to go out and study great white sharks in California. I looked up some opportunities, and eventually I came out here and I took an internship position at the Marine Mammal Center in Sausalito, which is just north of San Francisco. And I started specializing in treating California sea lions and other marine mammals. And there was no great whites, but that's what brought me back to the U.S. And I was just supposed to be here for 8 months, but I ended up starting to coach gymnastics. And then eventually I fell into fitness. and that's how you and I are talking about this right now.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of which, why are you not a marine biologist right now?
Because I don't need to be.
Okay.
To make a difference.
Okay.
That's what I realized.
Mm-hmm.
For me to make the biggest impact, I needed to use my strengths. And for me to be in a lab, it was not going to allow me to be the best advocate for different movements and different topics of importance. And if I can become one day maybe a beacon of light or a spokesperson, a megaphone for the current situation that we have environmentally, then I will do that. And I'm going to use my platform to reach as many people as possible with this. And to be honest with you, this whole fitness thing is just an excuse to be able to talk about everything else.
Okay. So what brought you to fitness? How did you find this pursuit, this avenue?
Well, I got excited when I started coaching gymnastics recreationally because I realized that I knew something. And I had, at a very young age, I was 22, I had an understanding of a sport and a method that really takes a lifetime to achieve. And of course, it had taken a lifetime for me, but because I started at such a young age, I was 20 steps ahead of most of my peers, and I had basically gotten a PhD in gymnastics. And because my focus in the gymnastics world always went beyond, I wanted to do gymnastics to win the Olympics, but not for the sake of winning the Olympics, but to have a voice to express myself and to let people know what's really up and to speak about the things that I care about and to encourage people to pursue the things that they want to pursue and to realize that as they're pursuing this, they are affecting everyone else around them and allowing them to collectively grow together. And that was always there. And when I got into fitness, it was simply because I started coaching gymnastics and I realized that I knew something. And as I started translating this knowledge from gymnastics to trampolining to circus to action sports and then into becoming a personal trainer, all methodically thought out, where I realized that there's a path I can follow and this will allow me to climb, quote unquote, the fitness ladder, and eventually finding the different expressions of performance that I could relate to, and eventually landing at a place where it was CrossFit, and landing at the right time, the right place, with the right knowledge, and willing to put in the fucking work. And I did. And when I did that, all of a sudden there, things caught on fire. And it was exciting. And it was cool. And that came with some drawbacks. And the drawbacks were that as excited as I was that finally there was a group of people that were ready to listen to me, I was also getting pigeonholed into this realm of physical education and fitness. And then even more niche, where it's like, oh, here's a muscle up on the rings, and whatever, you know, thing I was teaching well and that people could gravitate towards. And that was tough to realize. And it took me a few years to realize that it's okay if people come to you thinking that they're going to learn how to do a muscle up. Let that be the excuse. And when they get there, teach them what they want. And then inside of that, pack a punch with what they actually need and blow them away. And that's what I've been doing since I realized that. I've been using my muscle up, gymnastics, fitness as the Trojan horse to let people know that they have something to say. And if they don't have clarity right now, it's okay. You will find that clarity, and maybe physical education will help you with that thought process. And I'm going to help you find clarity through that thought process. And then I want to see you use it, and I want to see you grow, and I want to see you do that with compassion. And then I want to see you freestyle and be fluid around your growth and become a proactive participant in what we call life.
It sounds like Inception, like a crazy version of Inception. You're like the Leo DiCaprio of movement.
Sure, we could say that.
That might be a stretch, but a beautiful segue. Beautiful.
It's
segue.
A stretch.
Yeah, it's a stretch. Beautiful segue to freestyle. There are a number of things I am not good at: surfing, statistics, accounting, WordPress, and my split jerk needs some work. These are a few that come to mind right away. What I am good at, though, is knowing what I am not good at and knowing when to stop to try to figure things out on my own, ask for help, and list those that are much more knowledgeable. While working on multiple projects, coaching, self-development, and training, aka getting jacked and Sopal, my time is the most valuable commodity, so I need to be efficient with how I dedicate it. Which brings me to Ceteris. As a health and fitness entrepreneur, dealing with your finances, accounting, and tax preparation can be a headache. March and April are not my most fun months of the year. Ceteris specializes in accounting for health and fitness businesses and takes care of all that work for you, for you, so you can focus on the things that you need to focus on, like programming for your clients or taking your next certification. While giving you full access through your financial data and benchmark reporting through their platform, Ceteris Edge, which is built on top of QuickBooks Online. While they offer tax accounting, many of their customers also retain their current CPA and use Ceteris for month-to-month accounting and benchmark reporting, which their CPAs also love. To learn more about Ceteris Fitness Business Accounting and Benchmark Reporting Solution, please visit www.ceteris.com/unchartedperformance. If you sign up through our podcast, you will get 50% off your first 2 months. We'll include that link in the show notes. So if you're listening on the go, make sure to jump to our website and this episode. Key benefits of Ceteris. Do it for me. Your accounting and bookkeeping should be done for you by a team of experts who know accounting for your business inside and out. Benchmark reporting. Small business entrepreneurs can operate better business when they can compare their financial performance against peers in their industry. Ceteris provides peer benchmarking with franchise brands to optimize entrepreneurs' insights. A team, not a person. With a team of experts behind you, you should never worry about what happens if your account goes on vacation. Industry-specific expertise. Your accountant should specialize in businesses like yours to ensure that they know how to optimally code and categorize your transactions. Professional response time. A dedicated point of contact will respond to emails and requests within 24 hours. Cloud-based, your accounting should be kept up to date securely in the cloud. No risk of losing data, no sending large files back and forth, and you can access your financials anywhere, anytime. And for us on the go, mobile entrepreneurs are on the move, having the most critical information on the health of their business in the palm of their hand allows for better and faster decision-making. So get back doing to and focusing on the things that drive you and your passion, and get help with all that fuzzy math stuff. Again, link is www.ceteris.com/unchartedperformance. And now back to the show. So it is a beautiful book. It's very heavy. Was it intentionally made heavy? I rock with it sometimes.
You're crazy.
Well, Well, that and like Supple Leopard, but those two are like, you know, 20 pounds. But all kidding aside, what is freestyle?
Yeah, freestyle, the essence of freestyle is accepting and respecting all styles, all disciplines, all ways, all people. That's the essence of it. The book itself is a 4.4-pound book, as you said, heavy. 432 pages, 3,000, I don't know how many words it has, but it's basically my PhD or dissertation when it comes to movement. And in order to write that, what I had to do was put laser focus on it and distill it to these four movements that I talk about that are squatting, where I talk about the pistol, pushing mechanics from the upper body, which is your handstand push-up, pulling mechanics from the upper body, which is the muscle-up, combinations of pushing and pulling with the lower body, which is a kipping muscle-up, for example, and then a combination of all of those, which is getting off of the ground in different ways. And then giving language a code to be able to describe movement, and then at the end of the book, help people realize that this code needs to be applied to a lifestyle, and that's the method. Whatever your lifestyle is, or lifestyle that you're chasing is, that's the method. Freestyle is just something that gets to be a part of that. It's a way of doing things.
Got it. What really kind of stays with me, I don't know why, but and I've actually read the book couple times, and I keep coming back to this for some reason or another, and it's actually towards the beginning of the book, but it brings me back to kind of how we started the conversation and me thanking you for doing this, but training your senses and feeling movement, and being more aware and cognizant of movement and describing the movement to yourself. And that's actually helped me become a better coach. Because when I train, I'm actually talking the movement out in my head, which makes it easier to relay that information to whoever I'm coaching. Which was a huge, breakthrough for me. But can you kind of expand on what training your senses and feeling your movement is? Because you can probably do a much better job than I can.
Sure, let me give it a shot.
Okay.
Our bodies are the bridge between what's inside of us and the world that is unfolding outside of us. And somewhere along the way, we got caught in the outside world rat chase. And we live with this inner voice, inner persona that we have that is almost trapped inside. And it's only when we feel pain, especially, or hardship, that we become more aware of what's inside and how it's connecting outwardly. It's when we start getting a more close encounter and interaction with the world, and where we start becoming one. And my whole thing is, there is enough suffering in the world right now. There's enough pain. There's enough struggle. So why not enjoy the majority of the time that you're not struggling? And the way we can do that is by simply paying attention. Now, if the listeners right now are listening, and let's say they're driving, you're probably holding the steering wheel. I'm that smart.
Let's hope.
So, as you're holding the steering wheel, without looking at your hands, I want you to feel your hands. I am pretty certain you'll be able to feel your hands. If you're wearing a ring, without looking at your hands. You can feel your hands. And in addition to that, you can feel the ring. And that, as obvious as it may seem, as soon as you do that, you become 100% present in that very moment through your ability to feel what is. That's the essence of really training your senses. So when we move, it is important to move like we care. And if you think about how you got out of bed this morning, most likely you don't know how you pulled the sheets off of you and got out of bed. You can kind of imagine it, but you don't remember exactly the steps. You just unconsciously did that. What I do know is that if you fell right now and broke your arm or broke your leg or had some injury and you went to bed, the next morning when you wake up, as soon as you start moving, you're going to feel pain. And immediately when you feel the pain and realize that you can't move the way you have been moving in the past before the injury, you become 100% conscious of how you're getting out of bed, what technique, quote unquote, what you're using to be able to do that. That level of awareness when it comes to your movement practice to physical education is the most basic practice. And what I'm trying to instill is, rather than waiting for the injury, waiting to be stressed when you're at the gym or having to push really hard to get that stimulus, do it right now. Do it every second. Do it every minute, every hour, every day. And that way, without sounding too cheesy, you really become one with what is right now, and you start bridging the gap between what's inside and outside of you. And all of a sudden, you start feeling more understood. You feel like your life is more meaningful. You start seeing the impact that you're making with every single gesture. You start growing, and that's the beauty of movement, and that's one of the big reasons I teach movement as a tool to be able to pursue whatever it is that you care about.
Who is freestyle for? Is it for everyone?
It's for every human being that has, is, and will walk this earth. Now, you don't have to read the whole book to get something out of it. Mm-hmm. You can open the book on page 32 and go to any paragraph and read that paragraph. That person who reads the paragraph, whatever paragraph it is, may feel like, oh yeah, I understood what that meant. I don't care much for it, but I understood it. Some people may read it. I learned something. That's something that I totally get. Some people may read it and be confused. Now, all different experiences you may have with reading that paragraph should elicit some sort of response. If you read something, you understood it, acknowledge that you understood it, and then compare it to what you currently know, and maybe that becomes something that reinforces something positive that you have or something that you want to offer. Those who feel like they learned something new, they just added something to their toolbox. Those who are confused have now an opportunity to try to find clarity within that confusion. And maybe that leads to reading more of the book or going and asking someone a question or whatever it may be. But they may become more of a student. So yes, it's for everyone. And when it comes to the physical practice, the actual execution of the movements, mm-hmm. it is as well. And I start with super basic movement patterns, such as, can you touch your toes? Oh, you can't? It's okay. Round your back. You can't touch your toes still? Well, then bend your knees. That's totally fine. It's as basic as that. And then that eventually evolves into squatting, and squatting into weightlifting, and weightlifting into jumping, and then into landing, and then to throwing, catching, snowboarding, whatever it is you want to develop.
This is going to be a selfish question as a coach. But speaking of people becoming students or just even asking questions, and I obviously I'm a coach and I'm very fortunate to be one. I'm also part of numerous forums on the internets and whatnot. And there's always these, not always, that's a kind of overstatement, but sometimes you come across these responses, you know, the question is, what do you need help with? And the response, it will be, I need help with gymnastics, or I need help with everything, or I need help with weightlifting. And so my response will be, well, what specifically? And the response will be, you know, with everything. So if you can take that, I guess, very ambiguous and broad case study and kind of break it down from your experience, how do you work with that athlete or that individual?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not fully sure what you're asking me, but I assume mm-hmm. what you're saying is how would I approach working with someone who gives me a very broad need that they're trying to get met, right?
Exactly.
So if someone says, I just need to get better at gymnastics, well, go take a gymnastics class. Is that what you wanted?
Well, yeah,
no,
yeah.
That's not what I wanted. Well, you just said you needed help with gymnastics. Guy, go take a class, right? But then they usually say, well, no, I mean, I'm wondering how I can apply my gymnastics to my fitness. Oh, okay. So what specifically? Why I can't do pull-ups. Okay, what's wrong? What's wrong with your pull-ups? My elbows hurt. Okay, cool. When do your elbows hurt? Well, they hurt when I have done a lot of volume. Okay, great. Now we have something to work with. So knowing that, what is it you want exactly? I don't want to feel pain when I do pull-ups. Thank you. Okay, now we have... So that's the assessment.
Yeah.
One must assess. The goal is to be able to arrive at the need that needs to be met as fast as possible. And that's where what I've tried to create is movement standards that are universal, that when applied individually, allows for everyone to have a different experience and to diagnose what they actually need. Example, let's say someone says they have elbow pain or shoulder pain when they do pull-ups.
Mm.
I can say, all right, do me a favor. I want you to do a push-up with your hands pointing towards your toes, meaning instead of your fingers forward, pointing backwards. Okay, they do the push-up, and all of a sudden they do this push-up, and it feels different than a regular push-up for them. The question I would ask is, what did you feel when you did the push-up? And they may say, I felt pain in my wrist. Okay, great. Here comes some genius coaching for you. When you do the push-up, move away from pain. Okay? And then they do the push-up and they do it again and nothing changes. Okay. So I repeat. When you feel pain, move away from pain. Eventually, what ends up happening is that as they start descending into the bottom of the push-up, they maybe start feeling the pain in the wrists. And for them, moving away from pain is either moving back up to the plank position, which would be now a partial repetition, or it would be pushing their shoulders forward a little bit more and taking their wrists out of extension. Now, they do that. They don't feel pain. All of a sudden, there's another layer. Well, that was much harder to do. Well, of course, you're loading up your shoulders way more, and the position that you're getting into requires more muscular tension. Okay, so maybe I'm not strong enough, quote unquote, in these basic movement patterns. In addition to having stiff wrists, now I have two things I need to practice. I need to practice my strength when it comes to shoulder level, which I can develop through this pattern of pushing my shoulders forward when I do a push-up. And two, I need to work on some mobility at wrist level. The magic here is that as you continue to peel back these layers, realize that pushing for the push-up is the same thing as pulling for the mirror image of that pattern, which would be a ring row. Yeah. And all of a sudden you realize that a ring row may be a scaled version of a pull-up. And because we worked on such a basic standard, such as a push-up with the hands flipped back, the translation into the pull-up happens without them even realizing it. It's happening because we're reprogramming the whole pattern, and we're tapping into the basic needs of the person we're working on with in this case, which maybe for them it was, I felt pain, I need to move away from pain. And the application goes straight back into removing pain in the elbows when they perform the pull-up, simply because they reprogrammed the pattern.
And I think you just brought us, probably unknowingly, kind of full circle to kind of how we started off the conversation in terms of seeing the connection and movements and the purpose behind them. And no matter how basic, mm-hmm. no matter how basic they might be in terms of how they can support the development of other more complex movements, whatever your movement or training pursuit might be.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you have never been asked, but wish or wanted to be asked, so you can give an answer to that question?
I actually don't know if I have that. I tend to avoid the what ifs,
okay.
unless I'm
okay.
trying to solve a problem. But we could play that game. I guess something that has never been asked of me.
Or something that you want somebody to ask you,
is,
and it can be totally unrelated to what we just talked about.
I actually don't have an answer to that, simply because anytime I feel like someone's not asking me something, I go straight to social media and I say it.
So perfect answer, actually. Perfect answer. You've tried a multiple of, I guess, athletic endeavors. What's one thing that you haven't tried that you would want to explore further?
For some reason, I've always wanted to try pole vaulting. I think that would be pretty cool.
Okay. Any reason why?
No, it just looks cool. It's something that I've always seen, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty awesome. And we had a lot of pole vaulters come through the gymnastics gym. They would come and practice on the high bar. The transition, and I know the movement pattern. I just wonder if I could learn it, at least the basics, relatively quickly.
Oh, so you heard it here first on Uncharted Performance. Carl is going to be trying pole vaulting in the next year, and we're going to be looking forward to that.
Boom,
boom, done.
I can't wait.
We're looking forward to it, man. I was looking at your Linktree page.
Yeah.
And there's like 9 things, I think, counting on 9, which is more. It's almost 2 handfuls. Are you adding any more in the future? Any more pursuits?
Yeah, I mean, right now, in the Linktree, I have some seminars up there, so maybe there are more than 9. But
okay.
Yeah, I'm currently involved in a couple different projects, working with Strike Movement, which is footwear and apparel, working on a sports league called Workforce Athletics, starting to dabble with some nutritional aspects, such as Original Nutritionals. I'm also getting into some kind of interactive growth experiences for senior executives at big corporations, and I have a couple of technology things that I'm going to get into, and also creating a media company and a production company. So that's something that I'm currently working on, and it will start adding up into that link tree that you see there.
Okay, well, congrats, man.
Thank you.
We're very, very excited for you to put out more stuff. I don't know how you find the time. But I'm glad that we do. I'm glad that you do.
I appreciate it. I don't know actually how I find the time. I think it's just you make it part of your lifestyle, and you just chip away.
Yeah, for sure. So what's the immediate future hold for you? Like the 6 to 12 months. I know you mentioned a few things, but if we can dial it down to the next 6 to 12 months, what do you have going on?
Yeah, I think the most exciting part right now is launching or relaunching my website, Freestyle Connection, which I attempted to launch last year. It was an utter disaster. And I realized that I was launching it for the wrong reasons. I launched it to cater to my base, and I was trying to lock in the economics of the whole business model. And I realized that I had really no passion for it. In addition, I had some pretty broken elements to it. But now I'm relaunching it, and my goal is on freestyleconnection.com to share things that I'm passionate about and I really care about, such as physical performance. But also, you know, I was talking to my wife today, and we talk about parenting a lot, and she has so many great things to say that I think are of utility for parents out there that may need some help, and be able to write about that, and then talk about different tools that we use, from you know, shoes and clothes and equipment that you use at the gym, to technology such as phones and cameras and microphones and lenses and tools that allow you to enhance your lifestyle, and all the way up into basic science and what's happening in the world, and talk about the transportation industry, which is something that I really, really like, and talk about business and business development. These are things that I'm going to be sharing on this platform, and I'm really excited for this opportunity, actually.
Awesome. That's congrats on that as well.
Thank you.
So besides, do you have a ETA on that?
Yeah, December 4th.
Okay.
Is currently the official launch, and it will be very bare bones in the beginning. And I think the 6 month project is within 6 months is to find a cadence and have a core group of writers and content creators that are working around the clock to produce daily content, and for me to do my best job at keeping it true to what I believe is what we should be sharing, and making it really fair, and allowing people to engage with it. And the four things that I'm trying to do is, one, I'm trying to inform people, not educate, just inform. Number two is encourage or empower people, so they have control over the information. And three, what I want to do is I want to connect people, so creating a community around the content that I'm creating. And then four, support, which is something that could be as simple as doing some outreach or fundraising, some sort of philanthropic venture or branch to the whole company, without it becoming cause-based marketing, where I'm trying to sell you on something by putting, you know, something very emotionally attractive up front.
Awesome. Where can people find you besides the website once it launches?
Yeah, Instagram, you can find me, Twitter, Facebook, Carl Powley. I love hearing from people, and anyone who follows me, I would really appreciate if you do follow me to take the time and actually send me a direct message. I do my best to respond to everyone. And sometimes it gets crazy, but I do respond. So I would love to know who you are if you connect with me there. And I love having discussion and dialogue and knowing who you are.
Awesome. Yeah, and I can obviously attest to that personally. Carl, thank you so much for your time. This is actually, you don't know how cool this is, because I first heard about you on Barbell Shrugged. I think the original episode you were on.
Wow.
Way back. I guess it's way back in the day now. And I would at that point, I never thought I would have my own podcast. But now I can say that.
Wow, that's awesome.
Now I can say I talked to Carl Powley on the phone. So,
dude,
it's pretty awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. And guys, make sure you check out the show notes on our website, unchartedperformance.com. Carl, I'm very happy that you're feeling better, and I'm excited for what the future holds, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Same here. I appreciate you giving me a chance to talk to you and to your listeners.
You got it, man. Thank you. Another amazing episode in the books, fam. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. If you are new to the show, don't be afraid to check out other episodes. And if you dig the content, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. If you ever have any questions, feedback, or you just want to hit us up, please don't hesitate. Email address is contact@unchartedperformance.com, or you can hit me up directly at powell@unchartedperformance.com. Facebook and Instagram @UnchartedPerformance, and if Twitter is your thing, @ReachUncharted. And give us a follow and tag us to let us know who and where you are. As always, thank you for listening and supporting the podcast, and talk to you next week. Cheers, guys.